It's media day at Iowa State, and our football coverage all season long is brought to you by our good friends at Iowa Pork and the Iowa Pork Producers. Matt Campbell gave a press conference to start things off, and that's what we're going to play for you right now. I apologize, the audio isn't perfect when the reporters are asking questions, but we did bump it up as well as I could. Regardless, you're going to have good quality of what Matt Campbell had to say. Hope you enjoy it. It's Matt Campbell's Media Day press conference here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Another shout out real quick to our friends at Tailgate Clothing before we get to that. Tailgate is, they're opening up that new store in Jordan Creek Mall. And man, they got sweet gear. If you like the like old school and vintage type look, that is your place to go to stock up for Cyclone gear prior to the season. They're opening up their new store in Jordan Creek Mall. Shout out to our friends at Tailgate Clothing, the sponsor to our Cyclone Fanatic countdown to kickoff. Every day, Jared Stansberry has a different piece to get you guys primed for the 2018 football season here at CycloneFanatic.com. All right, here's that Matt Campbell press conference from earlier.
All right, guys. Well, I haven't seen you in a while, so I know there'll be a lot of good questions. But with that said, 4 days in, not a lot yet left to tell you or to tell you from this team. I really like this team. Our kids have had a really good summer. I'm really proud of what they've done. You know, we've had very efficient practices so far, but we still haven't had a full pad of practice. So to be able to give you in-depth anything probably would be really unfair today. But with that said, I'll give you what I got.
Matt, your media day for year one as a Cyclone, it's a year, this is three as a Cyclone. What's changed within your program?
Oh, you know, what a cliche answer. Everybody probably knows what I'm going to say. It's got to be the culture. I mean, to where we are today, comparable to where we were 3 years ago, and just in terms of player-driven leadership, you know, the intent that we go day-to-day with is drastically different than where we were year one. And that is so truly a credit to our kids and their investment in each other, their investment in getting better. Like I said, we had a great summer, and we've got a great strength coach, we've got great assistant coaches, but one thing that's really fun right now as you look at this roster is we got great leadership on our football team, and each position group, their best players are our best leaders, and that's really powerful right now, and it's something that I think certainly is guiding our football program in a very positive way.
The last couple times we've seen you, we've asked about Kyle Kemp and his confidence and comfortability now that he's kind of the guy there and the weight he's put on. Was there a moment or a time where that was really apparent and it surfaced? Was it last season? Was it the offseason? When did you really kind of see that come to the forefront?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think maybe the light really came on for me is practice one this fall camp. Kyle, it was really fun to watch Kyle this summer. You saw a confident young man, and I think anytime our sport is such a, you know, it's like the, you know, repetition is the mother of all learning, right? And then you get the repetition in the environment of football and playing the game where it really matters, we're keeping score. And Kyle got that last year. And, you know, I think one thing that allowed him to do was say, how do I evaluate what I did well and what I didn't do well, and then how do I drive myself forward? And what was really fun for me, and you know, even just watching these early practices, is it's almost like, wow, who is this kid in terms of he's got really confident, he understands the system, he's another year in, he's made those mistakes, so he's not making those same mistakes anymore. He just looks like a really polished football player. And again, where's that come from? Number one is investment into his body, I think, this offseason. Number two, certainly getting those quality reps last year of playing in that environment, especially any position, but really at that quarterback position, that's a huge advantage, and he certainly got that, and he's taken advantage of it.
We were talking to Coach Golis last night, and he mentioned that in the bowl game, you guys were able to run a four-minute offense where you ran the ball maybe for the first time since, I don't know, in the fourth quarter.
Right.
What's kind of the key to that and good vibes you've had? And, you know, how much have you challenged the team to be able to run the ball in the fourth quarter to finish games?
Well, obviously that's been a shortcoming here for 2 years, you know, and the bowl game was the only time that we had the ability to end a game, you know, where we were able offensively to put an end to it. And, you know, I think one of the things that if we look at our past, that's something that has been critical to our success is helping that defense out and understanding clock management and game management. And one of the things offensively that you can help your team out is certainly keeping the ball in bounds, understanding the ability to keep the clock running and have a knowledge of the game, and that the offensive line's got to take pride in that. Something that I think we've all said, and you've heard me say since January, our team will make great movement if our offensive line can take a step forward. That's a huge challenge for this year's football team. It's a huge challenge for the young men that play that position, and I think everybody knows that. So I think that group made a really, really good headway this summer. But, you know, again, until the lights come on and you put the ball down and play, we're not going to really find out where that group really is. But I think we're trending in a positive direction.
Coach, when we talk offensive line, Julian, 24 straight starts, what's made him so consistent?
Well, I think athleticism is the first thing when you talk about Julian Goodjones. He's got very high-end athleticism. You know, he's a guy that, which has certainly allowed him to have position flexibility amongst the offensive line. You know, Julian's played center. Julian can play either guard spot. He can play either tackle spot. And the one nice thing for us is we're trying to kind of figure out who are the five best linemen and putting everybody in position to be successful. He gives us that ability to do it. He's not just a guy that can play one spot. So I think that athletic ability that he possesses has allowed him to play. You know, I think his next step now is, do you become a truly, you know, own your craft and take your game to a level that we all think he's got the ability to go. But yeah, he's certainly a very athletic and talented young man.
Coach, you had Matt Eden and Landon Akers listed at the Z position. Obviously, Matt was pretty productive for you guys last year. What's Landon been able to do during the offseason to kind of even that gap, and what do you want to see from those guys to perform?
You know, I'll say this about let me talk Matt Eaton before I talk Landon Akers, just because, you know, Matt's a senior. B, if you said, Coach, 4 days, the guy that stuck out the most to you that had a phenomenal offseason is Matt Eaton. I mean, Matt, I'm really proud of Matt. You know, Matt has never had the ability to have a healthy spring and really a healthy fall camp. And, you know, Matt was kind of coming back from some injuries his first spring here. So in the summer, he was never full go until we got to camp and, you know, kind of battling through it. And I think you saw the emergence of Matt midway through the season, that Texas Tech game and on through there, really became a productive asset to us in that receiver group. And, you know, one of the things that's been really fun is to watch Matt's growth. And, you know, Landon kind of had the same movement this spring as some of our really good young guys have. You know, Landon last year earned the right to get some of those kickoff return reps and get some game experience, which I think was really big. Football's really important to Landon Akers, and he has something that, you know, we can't coach, and that's high-end speed. And, you know, one of the things that's been really fun to watch him is kind of gain that confidence in playing the receiver position and now not just be a fast guy, but actually be a fast guy that is a really good wide receiver. So I think those two are different. They're different assets. They're guys that can give us two different things, but both guys that I think you'll see are very valuable to what we need to do in the receiving game.
Matt, culture change sometimes can be like a nebulous type of term where you know it when you see it, but to define it is actually kind of difficult. Was there a moment when you saw the buy-in from your team when you first got here? And then did the kind of the win against Oklahoma kind of validate the process in a way, in a confident way for your program?
Well, I think number one, you know, I saw our football team grow year one. I've always said this, the TCU game we played, I don't know if that was game three or four, whenever that was, maybe game three, our first year here. And the first half, it was, if anybody was down there, it was like 100 degrees. It was miserable. We didn't play super great in the first half, but in the second half of that game, I saw our team actually fight. And I thought that piece was a turning point in terms of, you know what, we can start to push this in a positive way. I think we came home we won a game. And then all of a sudden, you saw at least our kids started to say, you know what, maybe we can have some success here. We believe this thing can turn in a positive way. And, you know, we learned some valuable lessons that first year of, you know, why did we not have success in those games that were starting to become very close games, but we would always lose them at the end. And I've said this always, that we really earned the right to lose those games, because those times that we should have been working on winning football games, we were worrying about, you know, tying your shoes right way, wearing the right clothes to practice, going to class, starting behind the line, finishing through the line. Those things were, you know, were missing, you know, and that's just honest. That's not a knock on anything. That was missing. And so one of the things that I think we saw a year ago was that we made a really positive movement in a very positive direction. And I thought what the Oklahoma game did is, at some point you have to have a moment, an aha moment, like, yes, this can get done. And I think that that gave us at least the ability to say, all this work, the time, the effort, what we're talking about, what we're doing, it is validated. Now how do we move and you know, continue to push ourselves forward? So, you know, I think the next step for us is, it's kind of like I said, number one, the consistency piece of it, it's something that we really haven't had a great deal of in this program. And then number two is the player-led leadership, you know, where it kind of the old, you know, 3-9 teams, the coaches are leading 90% of the time, the players are leading 10% of the time. You know, 6-6 teams, it's 50-50. You know, 8-5, it's 70-30. But when you become an elite level football program, 90% of the time it's the players leading, 10% of the time the coaches are leading. You know, I know all these coaches across the country think, you know, everybody's, we all have all the answers and the kids want to hear us, but really they don't. They want to hear each other lead them and talk to them and buy into it. And I think that's that culture shift that you're always trying to get it to. And certainly, you know, I think we're hopefully trending in a positive direction that way.
With Allen gone, what kind of opportunity does Hakeem Butler have this season, and what makes you confident that he'll be able to take advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Hakeem Butler was pretty good last year, you know. I mean, so from his standpoint, I think it's proven a little bit. The proof's in the pudding. You know, you're talking about a guy that explosive plays downfield, maybe was the best guy on our football team last year doing that for us. So I think for him, again, confidence in his game, how do you become in that consistency level, continue to take that up, you know, another level. But, you know, obviously Allen having those two being a great complement to each other a year ago, not so much who are those other guys now that get a chance to step into the picture and join, you know, join Hakeem and Allen in terms of being main focal points for our offense.
Matt, you touched on Julian, but also Bryce Meeker came in the same class, previous staff, but they were described as sort of the cornerstone of the new line.
Yeah.
They proved to be those guys in terms of not only positional flexibility, but the talent and leadership.
Yeah, you know, I think that those two have a very unique opportunity, in my opinion, right now. And, you know, when I challenge the offensive line, it starts with those two. And my reasoning for that is those two have played football, whether they should have or not early in their career, they have. And, you know, because they were the ones that at least had the talent to do it. Now, the right and earning the right to do that, you know, one of the hard things with their early part of their career is there wasn't much around them to challenge them to be the best version of themselves they can be. And so you talk about changing a culture as a team, you have to also talk about change happens in small groups. In each position group, that culture has got to change in its own sense. And a lot of those position groups, it has. To me, honest with you, that group still is trying to get to that point. Who's the one that's going to finally draw the line in the sand, or the group that's going to draw the line in the sand and said, this is who we are, this is where we're going? And I think that's a really unique challenge for those two. We've talked about it. Those two know that. I think they would tell you I express that probably in a very unique way at times to those two. But those two are very talented. Those two have the ability to become very good, and those two have what an amazing opportunity to lead leave this program in 2 years and say, you know what, look what we did. We changed the culture of what it means to play like O-line at Iowa State. So I think a great opportunity. I think it's a great point from your end. And one thing I do love is I do love both of those young men. They're young men that do care. They're working really hard. And, you know, I think it'll be a really powerful opportunity and a moment if they have that ability to make that change, because they'll have done it without a leadership in front of them to show them how.
Matt, kind of a philosophy question for you. When you get done in Memphis last year, when you look at your final box score on the season, right, what's the number one, like, stat that Matt Campbell goes to? Are you a turnover guy, rushing guy? Where
yeah, number one was turnovers. You know, we started every fall camp meeting. We start our number one meeting to start every season is that number. You know, we've got 8 criteria that we study of what, over the test of time, whether it's the NFL or in college football, what are those criteria that are percentage, drive your percentage up to win football games. You know, those hidden criteria that are really successful. And the number one stat in all of football at any level is obviously the turnover margin. And certainly we were able to take another very positive gain in that opportunity last year, not just the fumble statistic, but just our turnover margin in general. You know, went from, I think, 60, 70 our year, first year here, to, you know, pushing it finally to being in the top 20. And we could have been even better at times, you know. And, you know, we've a fascinating stat. We're 10-2 in the last 2 years when we're plus one or better in the turnover margin. You know, I think it tells you what I've said is our margin for error, the people we play and the consistency of the people we play, is still minimal, and we have to understand that, and it all starts with that. So that was number one. And then, you know, we certainly get into a lot of other statistics that, you know, we're still trying to get ourselves to, but that's a fascinating stat to me. That was the most telling stat in all of our analytics over the last 2 years that has stood up in those 8 criteria. That would have the greatest correlation to winning and losing football games for this program.
Do you guys do much with, like, advanced stats?
We do, you know, and I think it's for me, it's just, where is the gap? Where is the margin? Where are we still missing the boat? How do we continue to push this forward, and how do we know where to attack? Where do we put our focus into? And, you know, if it's important, then you got to make it important. And then how is that reflected in the program by what you do, how you practice, all those things. So we use that, and, you know, and then we'll use it even weekly, you know, as we prepare for our opponents. Is it what drives everything? No. You know, I still think football's a feel game in the moment, but I think there's some great statistics out there that can help you guide and navigate your football team.
Sticking with the bowl game, J.D. Wagner told us after that game that you just told the team that you couldn't wait to get back for the offseason. What do you remember, I guess, about, you touched on it last week, but the moment of after that game and already kind of thinking ahead for this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, after our last regular season last year, I was in conflict in two ways. Part of it was I wanted to do everything in my power to push that senior class and give them the right to go win this football game. And that's what we did. But I think the other conflict of me was knowing, how do we grow? What's the next step for this program? And win or lose in Memphis, we got to get on that plane, we got to come back, and this program's got to, everything's got to be focused on taking the next step. And, you know, I think as I watched our team practice in those bowl games, I started to get excited about some of those guys that hadn't played, some of those redshirt guys, excited about, you know, where I thought the future could go. But also, you know, at that time we had no idea about Kyle. You know, there was a little bit of uneasiness with our football team, with where we were, but knowing that we were still a really young football team, and I couldn't wait to come back, get in the weight room, get a plan for the offseason that best fit this team. And that's what's great about our sport. Like, every offseason can't be the same. You know, every offseason's got to be detailed, and because that's what's one of the funnest things about college football is. College football is every year your team is completely different. The dynamic changes, and you have to be ready as a coach to adapt to that dynamic and make sure those margins are filled in. And so I was really excited for the challenge about this team. And, you know, I think the you've heard me say this a number of times, the number one challenge was squashing any ego to think we did something or we accomplished something. There was still a lot left on the table, and there was a lot of areas that needed to get fixed and needed to grow. And, you know, the compliment goes to, I think, that sense of urgency to our players. Felt that sense of urgency from the time we got in the locker room there and got on the bus and the plane to come home to really when they came back a week later from their break that they got. And they've attacked it that way, and I appreciate that, and so is our coaching staff.
Last season, you praised your defense's ability to be multiple, and that was mostly with the three-man front. Now it appears you have the depth to have a four-man front. How much more multiple can your defense be this season?
Well, I think the reality is, you know, it's got a lot of pieces, and hopefully even with these young guys that are coming in, we can continue to add to the multiplicity of what we need to be. I mean, you know, it's funny, I've sat and studied NFL football at that level. It's, you talk about playing football at a really hard level, that game's hard to play defensive football because of the rules and some of the things that happen. Well, that one of the neat things about our level of football is you have the ability to create this multiplicity to what you do because the rules allow you to do that. You know, still being able to get hands on offensive guys, still being able to do different things. And, you know, I think speed is such a huge piece of that, whether it's the D-line level or whether it's the secondary level. So I think that the thing that we have gotten is we've gotten faster. I think we have got the ability to continue to add some dynamic pieces to the puzzle. Still about critical situations in defensive football. And I think the neat thing for us is we're going to have the ability to show a lot of different things and, you know, help put ourselves in the best situation to eliminate matchup concerns that maybe would exist in the game, but also give us the ability to create matchups for success from a defensive standpoint, which is maybe the first time that we've been able to do that defensively since we've been here, and that part I'm excited about as well.
Matt, during the Monday open session when we were in there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it was, you and Jaquan, during stretching, you and Jaquan were trash talking.
Yes. That's right, daily, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Kyle Kemp appears to be a guy who speaks to and spoken to.
Yeah.
Which player do you like? Which attitude do you like the best?
And you know what, I love it all. And I think that's what's really fun about my job is how does each player tick? Not every kid learns, is coached, or, you know, can handle coaching the same way. And so I think, you know, that's one of the things that I love. That's why it really, what we do is what every high school teacher in America is trying to do is engage and understand how their student learns and then providing them the tools and the resources to be the best learner that they can be in the classroom. And so, you know, again, for me, everybody's different. And you're talking right perfect, two ends of the spectrum of how they learn, how they approach day-to-day life, how they approach it. But you cut them open, they're the same kid, and they've got worlds of potential. And so it's really one of the favorite things that I love about my job is every young man is different. How I have to learn how and what makes them different, and then how do I challenge them to be the best version of themselves they can be. And that's relationships and creating those relationships, whether it's through recruiting or once they get here. It's my favorite part of what I get to do.
We obviously know that Brian Peavy and DeAndre Payne will leave legacies as good players on the field. But with the rest of that room being relatively young going into this year, how important is that legacy they can leave as leaders once they're done with their career here?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to be really fun for those two is, you know, and I've already seen this, is their legacy of great players is really good, but there's some great talent in that room right now. And their legacy to come back someday and say, hey, you know what, how those guys work, how those guys play, what their attention to detail is, I was part of that for those guys. I help those guys get it started. And again, I think that's where we're talking in this program. You know, that's when you got a football program rather than a football team, where, you know, get the older guys are teaching the young guys how to do it, and they come back and they, somewhere down the line, they say, man, I take great ownership in what those guys are doing. And then those guys, when it's their time to be that, they have the ability to pick up the next group of young guys in the program. And, you know, both Brian and DeAndre, that's one thing I love about both of those guys. Those guys have given way more of themselves than they've ever taken from the program. And I think it's got a chance to be reflected this year, because I think that group is going to be critical. Those young guys now are a little bit older and have a chance to really help us and create some of those defensive matchups for us in a positive way.
I thought it was interesting, Brito, you mentioned the NFL. What's kind of your offseason like in terms of how much NFL footage and stuff do you study, and where does kind of your adapting based on players go? Because some coaches might say we're going to run this scheme and players have to adapt to it.
Yeah, you know, I think if anybody's ever watched us, we're always evolving. You know, I'm one of the challenges, as soon as we get back, I'll take the top four or five teams offensively that I think in collegiate football, and who like-mindedness, like conceptually, maybe fit what this year's group has got coming back. And each coach will get one of those teams, break them down, study them. We'll do the same thing in the NFL. And what we'll do is we'll kind of pull that, and then when we get off to start spring practice, you know, we'll then take that information and almost clinic ourselves. And we've done that for the last 10 years, we've done that. And to me, whether we end up using that information, whether we don't use that information, because our sport's constantly evolving. You know, you've never, if somebody else has done the play or done the concept, you know, nobody's the natural creator of that. And so one of the things that I think is really big is, you know, we're always then adapting. And you've heard me say this, players, formations, plays. Who are your players? What formations you get in? What plays you run? But I think it's great for our coaches to learn the game and continue to pull it in. It's great for all of us to come back and say, here's what's going on. Does it apply to us? You know, maybe it's a third down play. Maybe it's red zone offense or red zone defense. And, you know, we do the same thing on special teams and on the defensive side. And I think all those things have always helped us, because you just never know, you know, really even until midway through fall camp, exactly who those players are. And now how do you adjust a scheme to benefit them? And you better have a pretty good pool to help yourself out do that.
Obviously, there's moments off the court or off the field where you get to kind of bond as a team, and y'all got to go and have a really big team bonding thing whenever you went down and helped out with the Marshalltown tornado. What was that like, going through that as a team, helping out there? You know, has that provided some perspective for the guys? You know, what was that moment?
You know, I think, again, that moment, we had a team activity that Saturday morning, and that we were going to do. And, you know, it was actually a couple of our seniors, Julian Good-Jones and a junior and a couple of other our group, that said, you know, it had already come across my mind, hey, should we cancel this? Should we go do this? And, you know, talking to some of our leadership team, some of those guys, and it was just like, this is a no-brainer. And you never know, because these freshmen had just gotten here. You know, there's a lot of – that's when I knew, no matter what happens – this season, we've got a really good group of kids. And this, that doesn't give you anything, that doesn't give you wins or losses or anything like that, but what it does give you is it gives you a chance. And I watch those kids work, and I watch those kids get back and interact. And what was powerful is not only watching our kids do that, but was watching this town who is devastated in some way, shape, or form, and the entire community is out there helping each other and working with each other hand in hand. And I think the perspective, our job as coaches, yes, football's important, this is still collegiate athletics, is to continue to foster a culture where our kids have the opportunity to grow, not just as football players, but as young men. And so I thought it was a really powerful day for us. I thought it was really powerful just to watch our kids interact with not only with each other, but with this community. And so, you know, again, it wasn't for anything other than watching that. I thought those were some powerful moments for this football team.
Coach, you've had some success recruiting in Eastern Iowa, Cedar Rapids in particular. Does it help when you get one kid that it kind of spreads?
You know, I think just, and no matter where it is, you know, I think any time that there's a young man that comes into the program, starts to have some success, and then you start to recruit somebody else from that area, you know, again, the coaching aspect is overrated sometimes, as we think, man, this recruiting, and I recruit a young man, it's about me. One of the things I always tell young people is don't ask us as coaches. Our job's to tell you all the great things about our school. Like, right, every coach is telling you, no coach ever says, hey, don't come here. Our job's to tell you all the great things. But when you have a player that's having a great experience and he's got the ability to communicate that and say, you know, those coaches, this is what they really are. You know, 18 to 22-year-old kids, they're not lying. So the nice thing is they're going to tell you what's going on. And when they can communicate that to their friends or to, you know, maybe somebody in their community, I think that's really important. And so no matter where we've done and had the ability to get young people geographically, I do think that's helped us in some of our recruiting, not just the coaching aspect, but our players being able to say, hey, this is what's going on in our football program.
Coach, what do you like about Greg Eisworth? What role can he play for you at defense?
You know, Greg's background is was a high school quarterback. And I have said this a lot. I really like guys that were the high school quarterback, no matter what position they end up playing collegiately. There's something about when your high school coach trusts you to have the ball in your hand in every play, that there's just something leadership-wise about you that gives you a chance to, I think, really project. And that's one thing that Greg has given us. You know, he had the experience, probably, you know, what he would perceived probably as not the most positive experience at a Division I institution that certainly has had some success. He goes through that, you know, he transfers to get himself so he's eligible for this year to a junior college, plays last year, gets to perfect his craft. And then, you know, I think one of the things that he has brought, and back to that quarterback piece, is he's a communicator. He's a leader, and he brings kind of an anchor. The position we're asking to play is safety. You know, it used to be the linebackers were the great communicators. They were getting everybody situated and adjusted in football. Well, the game spread out so much. It's those safeties that have to be elite communicators. And, you know, I think that's what we saw this spring from him, is taking great ownership and great communicative skills. And I think that's only just, you know, really, I think, move forward through the summer portion of it. So I think that's the biggest thing about Greg that we're all excited about. And he's certainly really done a great job of what we've asked him so far, and look forward to watching him play.
Coach, after Kyle and Zeb, you have a pretty young group of quarterbacks behind them. What do you like about those guys? How is that shaking out? How they look?
Well, you know, it's been really, really fun to watch that group. If you said, well, where's one attention for me, is what is this young quarterback group look like and feel like? And to me, I think there's very high-end potential in all the young men that are getting reps at that position. I think there's the potential to continue to challenge our football program to go forward. That quarterback position, as we all know, is critical to the success of your team. And we continue to find that out, and I feel really confident about, just even in 4 days, about it, the skills, the characteristics, and the traits that those guys have. And I think it's going to be a really high-end competition. Again, competition always allows the cream to rise to the top, and I think right now you're seeing a group, really Kyle's leading it, and then everybody else, you know, great competition, and you feel it and you see it, and that's good to have in your program. And I think that part's really, really good, and I think that'll allow all that to fester, you know, through the rest of fall camp and certainly, you know, into the early part of the season. Yeah, I would like to take, I've got four kids. If I could have one more, I'd take Josh. You know, like that's how I like Josh Kniffel. He is, you know, a lot of kids in our program, and you talk about our success last year. He didn't get here until mid-June. Then Josh comes in. You know, he would tell you, I remember I went and kind of like watched him run the stadium steps his first Friday. I think Josh almost, you know, passed out on the stadium steps. And I'm like, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit farther away. And then we walk out to the first game and he's starting. And then not only does he start, and I think the penalty piece is great, the reality of it is he was probably our most efficient lineman last year. And when I come back now and I watch him, he is kind of part of, just like Julian and just like Bryce, he's a guy that has unbelievable leadership traits. And one of the things that I love about him is you can say to a young man, all you want to say is be your best version of you every day. I know what we're going to get from Josh. He's going to be the best version of himself every day, walks out to practice. And when you get that, you trust that student athlete. And that's why I say that about him. He has got the utmost trust from me, our coaching staff, and I think really his teammates. So I think he's an anchor to the success of our program.